Shalom to all. Today's Avos Chol and Daf Pei Tes. We're talking about the 12th line with the words Amar Vaba. And today's Avos sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Miriam Sarabas from Yaakov Moshe Hernish Amar Shadah Haven Aliyah. Now, just prior, we had mentioned how Avram Avinu refused to take anything from the spoils of war from Melech Sodom. So now the Gemara tells us something connected to that. Amar Vaba Rabba says Kasha Gezel Anechel, something that was stolen, which was already eaten, is very harsh. It's challenging. It's difficult. You can't pay it back. Or where do we see this? Shafil Tzadikim Gemurim and Yichay Machziroi. Even great Tzadikim and Tzadikim Gemurim are not able to return it. Shemar the pasuk says this is Avram's response to Melech Sodom when he said, "Why don't you take the spoils?" Avram said, "No, Bil Adai," which is loosely translated as "Far be it from me." Rakasher Achlan Arim, only that which the Na'arim ate, what they consumed. In other words, Avram said, "I'm not taking anything from you." However, whatever the Na'arim, the lads, the youth that helped me win the war, whatever they had already taken, that I'm so to speak taking for myself. I'm not going to return it. We see that once something's already consumed, it's very difficult to pay it back or give it back. Another special thing we learn from Avram: Amar Rabbi Yechonam Mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. The Kol Makom Shatamaisu Dvarav Shabbi Elazar B'nai Shol Rabbi Yisai Glili B'Hagada. Anytime you find the words of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Yisai Glili, in Hagada, that's what we call Agada. Asay Azal Chakavar Chesed. You should make your ears like a funnel, meaning you should be careful to listen. What's the pasuk tell us? Let me Rabbi Chaim Chashak Hashem B'chem V'Gaimer. It's not because you're more numerous than all the nations that Hashem desired you and chose you. As she says the pasuk, you're really the smallest of the nations. Now what's the drasha? Amalek Hashem Baruch Yisrael. Hashem is telling the Yidden, Chashkani B'chem. I desire you. Why is that? Shafil B'shash Ani Mashpil Chem Gedula. Even at the time that I give you greatness, Atem Matem Atzmechem Fanai. You minimize yourself and make yourself small in front of me. And therefore the words in the pasuk, Lo Mirubchem, are not understood in a literal sense. Not because you're more numerous, like we originally translated. Rather, you are not marbig yourselves. Namely, you don't glorify and aggrandize yourselves. Rather, you minimize yourselves, acting with anava, humility. And that's why Chashak Hashem Bochem V'Yivchai Bochem, as the pasuk continues, Ki Atem HaMe'at, because you make yourselves the smallest. And where do you see this? No Sadik Dula Avram. I give greatness to Avram. I'm going to find out what he's saying in front of me. V'Noichi Ofer V'Efer. I'm ashes and dirt. And L'Moshe V'Aaron. I give greatness to Moshe and Aaron. Amar, it's really Amru, they said. V'Nachnuma. What are we? El David, I gave greatness to David. Amar, what did he say? V'Noichi Talas V'Leish. I'm a worm. I'm not a man. Aval Avik Chavim Ein Kain. The non-Jews are not like that. No Sadik Dula Nimrod. I give greatness to Nimrod, says Hashem. Amar, what did he say? Havanim Nalanu Ir. Let's go build a city. This is Migdal Bavel. This caused rebellion against Hashem. And Leparo gave greatness to Paroi. Amar, what did he say? Mi Hashem, who's Hashem that I should listen to him? And Lesancheriv, I gave greatness to Sancheriv. Amar, what did he say? Mi b'chal he arotzes v'goymer, who among the gods saved their lands for me? And Sancheriv continued saying that Hashem is going to save Yerushalayim from me. And Nebuchadnezzar gave greatness to Nebuchadnezzar. Amar, what did he say? El abam say of, I will ascend over the tops of clouds. And Baza continues, Adam el elyon, I'm going to liken myself to the Most High. And Lechir Melech Tzar, greatness was given to Chirim, the king of Tzar, after the destruction of the base of Mikdash. Amar, what did he say? Moshe v'lekim yashavti, I occupy the seat of Hashem, belev yamim, in the heart of seas. When he became very powerful, he built himself a seven-layered platform of copper and sat on it and said this. And so we see that when greatness is given to the non-Jews, it just goes to their head and they try to make themselves even bigger and greater and perhaps even rival Hashem, whereas the Yidden are the opposite. And Rav, he tells us, Rav Yechanan, sometimes Rav Yechanan, Gadol Shanei Rav Moshe v'Aaron, Yosef Masha Amar Bavram, what was said by Moshe and Aaron is greater than that was said by Avram. De'ilu ba'Avram, k'sev anochi ofer v'efer. Avram said, I'm ashes and earth. So he's saying that he's at least something. Ve'ilu Moshe v'Aaron, k'sev Moshe and Aaron says, v'nachnu ma, what are we? Meaning, we're nothing. And from Rav Yitim Rav Yechanan, eino ilu miskayim el b'shvil Moshe v'Aaron, the world is only miskayim because of Moshe and Aaron. K'sev ha'chad says over here, v'nachnu ma, u'k'sev ha'chad, we have a pasuk over there that says, toila eretz al blima, that Hashem suspends the earth on blima, on nothingness, and blima is understood as blima, when a person says, I'm nothing, so that's what caused the world to continue. No different Josh on this pasuk, Amar Rabbi Ila, eino ilu miskayim el b'shvil misha boilim es atzmai b'shas meriva, the world is only miskayim because somebody who closes his mouth, he's boilim es atzmai at a time of a fight. That means that when there's an argument, there's meriva, there's a fight, there's an altercation, a person doesn't say anything. And actually, in modern Hebrew, the word livlom means to break, bilamim, or breaks, as in the things that stop the car. And how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, toila eretz al bilima. Now, Rav Amar, he says, who's the world miskayim on? Misha mesim atzmai k'misha enoi, a person who makes himself like he's not, meaning he makes himself like nothing. Shenemar, the pasuk says, umitachas zrois oilam. Literally, this means, and below are the world's arms. But the drasha is, one who is nidras tachas akol. He allows himself to be under everything. Such a person is the arms holding up the world. And Rav Yitzchak, he tells us, ma'itach siv was pshat pasuk, ha'omnam elem, is there indeed silence? Tzedek tedaberun, should you speak tzedek? Me sharm tishbetu b'nei adam, should you judge people with fairness? Now that's a literal translation of the pasuk. What's a drasha? So the word ha'omnam in the beginning of the pasuk is understood as the word omnis, like a craft or a skill. And therefore he says, ma'um nasa shal adam ba'elam hazeh, what's the proper omnis, the proper craft or skill a person should take on in this world? Yasem atzmai ki'ilim, he should make himself like a mute, and he shouldn't talk, he should be very quiet and humble. Now Yochim might think, havadivar taira, this even with taira, that he shouldn't teach taira or share taira. That's why Tamalem, the pasuk continues saying, tzedek tedaberun, that you shall speak tzedek, and tzedek is referring to taira. Now Yochim might think that yag is daitai, a person should become prideful because of this, he has a lot of taira, so Tamalem, that's why the pasuk continues saying, meisharim tishbitu b'nei adam, and meisharim is like the word mishar, which is a plain, and that tells us that a person should be like a level piece of ground that's easy to walk on, meaning he should be humble. Now going back to Kisu Adam, Amar B'Zeirav, Yitamu Rabar Yirmiyah, Mechasim B'Ofer Yirani Dachas, what's allowed to keep Adam with the offer of Ir Nidachas. Now, Ir Nidachas is a city in which the majority of people serve the Vayda Zara, so as a special din, everyone gets Saif, and we have to burn everything in the city. So right now, the Havamina of what this is saying, the one's allowed to use the ashes of everything burnt from the Ir Nidachas, and that could be used for Kisui. Asking more of Amai, why would this be Mutter? Yisriah HaNohu, this is something that's Asur Bano, you're not going to have benefit from it. That's because the Pasuk says, Lo Yidbak Biyadcha Mu'umam and Achirim, then nothing, Mashma, even the ashes, are allowed to be benefited from. So Ziyur, he explains, Lo Nitzcha, what's this Chedesh? El Afar Afra, only regards to its dirt. In other words, we're not using ashes for Kisui Adam, we're using the dirt from the city itself. Why is that permitted? Because the Pasuk says, V'eskol Shalot Tik Baitzel Tech Rechayva, that you should take all of its Shalot, which literally means its spoils, meaning take everything from the city, gather it into the Rechayv, into the main area, V'seraftin, you shall burn it. And what do we learn from here? Mishain Machusar El Kavitsu Srefa, the only thing that's awesome from Ir Nidachas, even after it's burnt, is something that the only thing that needs to be done to it is Kavitsa, it just needs to be gathered and then burned. That's what the Pasuk says. Take bites, gather it, and then burn it. Yatsa says it excludes this. We're just talking about the dirt of the city itself. Shemachusar Talisha Kavitsa Visrefa. It's missing another thing. It has to be uprooted. You have to dig it out of the ground, and only then you would have to gather it and burn it. So the dirt is allowed to be used. That's what it is referring to. Whereas Rav Amar Rava says, no, we're even allowed to use the ashes of everything from Ir Nidachas. And why is that? Mitzvah Slava Hanis Netnu. That's because mitzvahs weren't given for benefit. In other words, the purpose of the mitzvah is because Hashem said, do the mitzvah, not that a person should derive benefit from it. Therefore, even if a person does have hana, it's not considered halachic hana. Therefore, the ashes of the Ir Nidachas are allowed to be used for kisui. Now, also, Ravina Kamala Hashmaita, Ravina was sitting and saying this over. And Asi Rav Ruchumi the Ravina, so Rav Ruchumi asked Ravina as follows. We know, Shev Shalvayz Kachavim lo Yiskabai. The shofar that was used for Avodah Zarah was allowed to use that for Tkiyas on Rosh Hashanah. Now, my love, Imtaka lo Yata, doesn't that mean that if he used it, he's not Yotze? As we see, we don't apply mitzvah Lav Lahenes Netnu, since it was used for Avodah Zarah. Even if you use a shofar for a mitzvah, you're not Yotze. So he pushes it away, says, Lo, that's not so. Imtaka Yata. That if a person uses shofar for Avodah Zarah for Rosh Hashanah, b'diavad, he is Yotze, because again, mitzvah Lav Lahenes Netnu. So he continued asking, but what about the following? Lulav Shalvayz Kachavim lo Yital. It would say to refer, so the lulav that was used for Avodah Zarah, for example, is used to sweep in front of the Avodah Zarah or something like that. One is not allowed to use it on Sukkis. Now, my love, Imnata lo Yata. Doesn't that tell us if a person uses it on Sukkis, he's not Yotze? So once again, we push that away. Lo, that's not so. Imnata lo Yata. But the evidence, if a person uses lulav Avodah Zarah, he is Yotze. But here's the final question. Vatan, you have a brass that states Beferish, Taka lo Yata. Natal lo Yata. Then if a person blew with the shofar of Avodah Zarah or used a lulav Avodah Zarah, he's not Yotze 100%. As you see, you can't apply mitzvah lav lahenes netnu. So Rav Ashi answers, Hachi Hashta, is this really so? Are you able to make a comparison between these two? Hasam, Peitas on Beis on top, Shira Be'inon. Over there, we need a proper shear. When we're dealing with Avodah Zarah, it's considered like the shear is crushed. We'll explain this in just a moment. Whereas Hach over here, Koma de Mechtas, Mal de Kisui. The more that it's crushed, the better it is for Kisui. In other words, both by Shofar and Lulav, they require a particular shear. The minimum shear of a Shofar is that the front and the back have to stick out of a person's hand when holding it, and Lulav has to be four Tvachim. Therefore, when these come from Avodah Zarah, and we know they have to be burned, the din is Kol Ha'oimid L'Sreif Kesar of Dami. That anything that's supposed to be burned is like it's burned already. Therefore, it's as if we don't have a Shofar or Lulav at all. And that's what Gemara just meant when it said, Kitusei Mechtas Shira, that it's as if the shear is crushed, it's like we don't have it at all. As opposed to Kisui Adam, which is the exact opposite. The more burned, crushed, and pulverized it is, the better. So therefore, we are allowed to use the ashes of Ir Nidachas, and once again, relying on Mitzvah Lalahenes Netnu, it's perfectly fine. Hajjal Kisui Adam, Mazar finishing the sixth parak of the Masechta, just like Yuzecha finished this parak together, we should Yuzecha finish the entire Masechta together, and of course, all of Shas together. Without pausing, move right into the new parak, Get Hanoshe. Now we know the famous struggle between Yaakov Avinu and the Sarshal Esav, which took place when Yaakov returned for his Pachem Ketanim, and the Pasuk tells us that the Malach dislocated Yaakov's thigh, and because of that, we don't eat the Get Hanoshe of the animal. Now it's important to read the specific language used by the Pasuk. It says as follows, Alkein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael es Get Hanoshe, therefore b'nei Yisrael are not allowed to eat the Get Hanoshe, which literally means the gid, the sinew, which was noshe, it was displaced, and where is this Get Hanoshe? Asher al kaf ha-yarech, which is on the spoon of the thigh, ad hayom hazeh until this day. Why not? Ki nagah b'kaf yarech Yaakov v'get hanoshe, that's because he struck the spoon of Yaakov's thigh on the Get Hanoshe. And Rashi in this mission explains that the flesh wraps around the top of the thigh, hence the name, the spoon of the thigh. And we're also going to learn soon that there are two main gidim of the thigh, the panimi and the chitzai, the inner and the outer. So not only that, the Gemara tells us, Get Hanoshe, noig ba'aretz b'chutz la'aretz, this of eating Get Hanoshe is both in Eretz Yisrael and chutz la'aretz, b'fnei abayis v'shelo b'fnei abayis, when there's a base of mikdashin even without one, b'chulin of mukdashin, both with chulin and with kachim. Noig b'heim b'chaya is with both behemoth and chayos, b'yarech shel yimin b'yarech shel smol, both the right and left thigh, v'einu noig ba'if, there's no iser Get Hanoshe with birds, because it doesn't have a calf. We're going to see later on that it does have a calf, it's just not rounded. V'noig b'shlil, and it also applies to a shlil, to the fetus that comes from an animal. For example, like we've had earlier in the Masechta, Ben Pakua, the mother's shechted, we open it up, we find an animal inside, its Get Hanoshe is also problematic. Whereas Rehu Daimer, he says, Inunoig b'shlil, it does not apply to the shlil. And also, v'chel b'mutter, the chelev, the usually forbidden fats of a shlil, are permitted. Now, another day, v'inat b'chem ne'amanu al Get Hanoshe, divra meir. Meir says, the butchers are not trusted regarding the Get Hanoshe, it's very difficult to remove it. One has to dig deeply into the flesh to pull out the entire gid, so you can't trust the butcher if he sells you the back leg and he tells you, don't worry, I took out the Gita Anasha. Whereas Chamar and Chum say, now Manam Alav, there are trusts regarding the Gita Anasha, they took it out, and also Valachil regarding the fat. So the Gemara begins by asking on the first part of the Mishnah where it tells us the Gita Anasha applies by Mugdashim. So the question is, Mugdashin, Pshita. It's obviously the Isra of Gita Anasha applies by Mugdashin. Mishim Da'akdashe, Pakale, Isra Ginmine, just because he was Makdash the animal, also now it doesn't have an Isra of Gita Anasha. In other words, the Isra of Gita Anasha applies when the animal is formed already. It only becomes Kudshim later on. So how do you think that now that he made this animal Kudshim, he says it's a carbon, all of a sudden there's no Isra of Gita Anasha? What's the Mishnah teaching us? Every Chidim wants to suggest that what's the Tana teaching us? That yesh we gidim runai sein tam, the gidim as a whole, and over here obviously we're talking about the Gita Anasha, it does impart flavor, which means it does have a taste. It's not just considered like rubbery string and that it doesn't have a taste. No, it is nice and tam. And also v'asi yisra mugdashim chayal isra gid, that the isra of mugdashin is now going to come and be chal. That's going to be tacked onto the isra of gid. In other words, maybe the chiddush is as follows, that one might think that ain't isra chayal isra. We can't stack isurim. And perhaps if one isa gira nashav kachim, he isn't chayav for benefiting from kachim. And therefore the chiddush of the Tana would be twofold. First of all, the gira nashav is nice and tam. It has flavor, and so it's no different than meat. And also over here, we do say isra chayal isra, namely the isra of kachim applies, but besides for the already existing isra of gira nashav. Therefore, if a person eats a gira nashav of kachim, he's going to be over two isurim. That can be because haimukdashim noig begin me by a light. The Mishnah should reverse its language. It should say that the isra of hektish is noig in the gid, because that's the way they were understanding. First, there's isra of gira nashav. Then later, when he makes the animal kachim, so now we can tack on the isra of kachim as well. But that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said the gira nashav is noig bekachim. El rather, the Gemara suggests kasavar. What does the Tana hold? Ain begidim noisin tam. Gidim actually don't have flavor. And mukdashin isra gid ika isra mukdashin leka. With hektish animals, there's an isra gira nashav, but there is no isra mukdashin. In other words, the Tana is teaching us that even though gira nashav has no flavor, so there's no mukdashim isra, meaning if a person eats a gira nashav, he's not chayav for eating kachim, nonetheless there still is an isra of gira nashav. Says the Gemara, that can't be because v'sar tani don in begidim noisin tam. Our Tana really holds that gidim don't have flavor to them, so a person wouldn't be chayav for eating kachim meat. But now we've mentioned yarchin is bashal ba gira nashav. If we have a thigh of an animal, that the gira nashav was still inside and it was cooked together. So im yesh bo noisin tam, harezu asura. If the gid was large enough to impart flavor into the meat, so then the whole thing is asur. So we clearly see that the gid hanasha is benayis in tam. So we're suggesting you write alahacha bevlad is kachim askinon. Over here, what's the Tana referring to? The vlad, the fetus of kachim. Vekasavar noig bishlil, and he holds that the isra of gid hanasha applies even when the fetus is still in the mother's stomach. And vekasavar he also holds vlad is kachim may imanhin kadoshin, that the fetus of an animal which is kachim becomes kadosh while it's still in its mother's stomach. And therefore, we'd say the isra of gid v'isra mukdashin v'hadidadi kasi, that the isra of gid and the isra of hektish come at the same time. In other words, this new attempt at understanding the time for Mishnah is referring to the following case. Mother animal is consecrated as a shlamim and becomes pregnant. So the chiddush is, don't think that the fetus is kadosh and that the isra gid hanasha only comes after birth, which would mean it can't apply because of anus or chal isra. Rather, Tana is teaching that two things happen simultaneously. The fetus becomes kadosh in the womb and the isra gid hanasha also applies in the womb. Therefore, we could have these two isurim chal together. Ask the Gemara, how do you say that? Could really say that the Tana and the Rashi in this beginning of the Mishnah is talking about a shlil, a fetus in the mother's stomach? What do you mean? From the fact that the Seifa, the next part of the Mishnah tells us, the Gid Hanasha applies by the Shlil, this word of the Mishnah, when we say Mugdashin, that's not talking about the Shlil, it's talking about an already born animal. So where it says, no, Hachikamar, this is really what the Mishnah is saying. When it says, V'noig B'Shlil, at the end of the Tanakama statement, it's really teaching us that Davar Zeh Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon. This is Machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon, because the very next line in the Mishnah is, that Rabbi Yehuda argues and says it's not Noig B'Shlil. So that's all we're emphasizing. In other words, when Tana says Mugdashin, we're talking about a Shlil, fetus that's inside the mother's stomach, and the reason why he repeats Shlil at the end of the Tanakama statement is just to emphasize that he argues with Rabbi Yehuda. However, the Gemara has another question on this. Are you really able to say that these two Yisurim are Chal at the same time? Both Hektish and the Isra of Gira Nasha applying the fetus at the same time? Can't be. But now we've mentioned it says, Al Eilu Tumas HaNazir Megaleach. Regarding these Tumas, a Nazir has to shave. This refers to a Nazir who we know is not allowed to drink wine. Specifically, over here, is not allowed to become Tamei. And if he does become Tamei, that undoes all the days of Naziros that he kept. He has to go through a whole entire process at the end, which he's Megaleach, he shaves, and he restarts his Naziros. So regarding what Tumas does he have to restart? Al HaMeis Val Kizayis Ben HaMeis. Regarding a mace and Kizayis from a mace. Now, Bakashalon, we asked, Al Kizayis Ben HaMeis Megaleach, Al Kulei HaKol Shekein, if he has to restart his Naziros process because he became Tamei from a Kizayis from a mace. So for sure, if it was from a whole mace, he would have to restart his process. Why does Mishnah tell us mace itself? What's the Chiddush? And the answer is, Rabbi Yochanan clarifies, Lo Nitzcho, it's referring to the following, El Lenefel Shaloi Nikshu Evar B'Gidin, it's talking about a Nefel, a miscarried fetus that wasn't developed yet, that it's Evarim, its limbs, were not connected with the Gidim. In other words, the limbs of this Nefel are fully formed. They do not even have a kezias of flesh on them, though, so that can't be the source of Toma. And there aren't Gidim here either, which connect the limbs. And that's the chiddush of that Mishnah by Nazir, that since we have a fully formed fetus, even though, again, it doesn't have Gidim, it's still Matame. Now, Tani Amrav on top, what do we learn from here? Alma, we see Isra Mugdashin Kadim, that the Isra of Kachim Him comes first. In other words, from the fact that this human nafel is metami like a regular mace, we apply this to an animal that at the moment a fetus is formed inside the kadshim mother, that fetus itself is already considered kadshim, but Gid HaNashe isn't chal yet because it doesn't have gidim yet. So how can you say that the animal became kadshim and had an isser of Gid HaNashe at the very same time? So Gemara says, you're right. Afagav the isser mikdashin kadim, even though it became aser's kadshim first, asi isser gid, chayel alayhu, still the isser of gid could come afterwards and be tacked on. Why is that? Shekeini suri noig b'nei noyach. Because it's isser, meaning the isser of Gid HaNashe applied by b'nei noyach. What does it mean, b'nei noyach? So before we officially became Am Yisrael by Kabbalah Satayrah, we are called b'nei noyach beforehand. And since we clarified at the beginning of the parak that this isser of Gid HaNashe already applied even before Matan Torah, so he sees a very chamer isser, which again the Gemara is calling that it applies by b'nei noyach, and therefore you're right. Even though it's not happening simultaneously with kadshim, it's still able to be tacked on. Asking the Gemara, how could you say that? Man shamaslei hay svara. Who holds this svara that Gid HaNashe is very chamer because it applied to b'nei noyach? Rabbi Huda, that was Rabbi Huda, and Rahamas Nisan to like Rabbi Huda. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Huda, meaning the first part of the Mishnah. Dektani, because what did the Mishnah say? Noig b'behem b'chaya, b'yarech shal yimin b'yarech shal smol. Gid HaNashe is both in the right and left thigh, and we know, as we're going to see later on, that Rabbi Huda holds that the Isser of Gid HaNashe is only one of the thighs, not in both of them. So how could you say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Huda? The more answer is no problem. The Tana at the beginning of our Mishnah, the Tana Kama, he holds like Rabbi Huda in one, but he argues with him in another. He holds like him in regards to Gid HaNashe being a very chamer Isser, and therefore could be applied even after the Isser of Kadshim. But he argues with Rabbi Huda, and he holds that Gid HaNashe applies in both thighs, not just in one of them. We still have a problem. Rabbi Huda only says that this Isser of Gid HaNashe is super chamer, and therefore could be applied even after this Isser of Kadshim. That's specifically by a Tmeya, by a non-kosher animal, because that's just an Isser Lav. In other words, we have a non-kosher animal, there's an Isser Lav to eat it, and since Gid HaNashe is chamer because of the Ben Noach aspect, so it can be added on afterwards. But Kadshim, the Isser Kares, Mishamisle, Kadshim that has a potential Isser Kares, for example, Pegol, Nicer, if one eats Kadshim when he's Tamei, maybe even Rabbi Huda himself doesn't apply Gid HaNashe, because maybe it's not chamer enough that it can be applied to Kadshim. So we're back to square one. What is the Chiddush of the time of the Mishnah when he tells us that Gid HaNashe applies to Amugdashin? The answer is El Hachum Vakaris Askinon, the Berachim Kadosh. Over here we're talking about an animal which is giving birth to its first baby, its Mvakaris, that's going to be a Bechar, that becomes Kadosh in the Rechem. In other words, really Gid HaNashe does not apply by regular Kadshim, only with Bechar it does. Why is that? Well, because a Bechar attains its Kedusha only when it emerges from the mother. Therefore, we'd say Mimon of Shach. Either Gid HaNashe applies even with the fetus inside the mother, the Gemara called it Nohig Beshlil, which means the Isser of Gid HaNashe came before the Kedusha of Bechar. Or the other side would be that it doesn't apply with a fetus, meaning it's not Nohig Beshlil, and it comes together with Kedusha's Bechar, namely when the animal is born. And that's what Tanakh Mishnah could be referring to, namely that when he says Mikdashin, it's only referring to a Bechar. Vibas alternatively could say they're really referring to all Vladis Kachim, all children that are born to Kachim animals, and still the way we could say that Gid HaNashe applies is because Vladis Kachim, Bavyasanin Kedashim, the children of Kachim, when a Kaidish animal gives birth, its child only becomes Kaidish Behavyasai when it's born, when it comes into being, and then the Chiyuv Gid HaNashe would also come simultaneously with that birth. As with this understanding, the Tanakh Mishnah would be talking about all Mikdashin that have babies, so that baby has a lot of Gid HaNashe. We're going to start for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss this, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.